Oh, jeez.
And the real thing that's obvious is that Lance Wright's boyfriend sticks needles up his ass.
Oh man.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother. Why don't you get in this ring, and I'll show you the difference from being cum drunk to punch drunk.
It's November 30th, 1997. Crash Bandicoot 2 is well on its way to becoming PlayStation 1's bestseller up to this point. Tenacious D makes its debut on HBO with a show of the same name, and in ECW, it's a November to remember. This is number 194, ECW November to Remember, 1997. We're the Fudderation. I'm Tyler Fudge.
And I'm Travis Fudge.
You can follow us on Twitter, at The Fudderation. You can follow Travis on Twitter,
at Fudging Up.
You can Facebook and Instagram, The Fudderation Podcast. T-shirts at whatamaneuver.net. And you can become a lovely member of our Patreon by joining our Fudge family. I said that backwards, but who gives a fuck? You can even do it on PayPal, which is thefudderationpodcast@gmail.com. Just like from the musically inclined side of the family, Wooly Fudge, a brother from another mother, Scotty Rod Fudge. He wants to call father, but not for a dollar. Trox Fudge, the intergalactic brother, Fat Superman Fudge. Our doe-eyed cousins from down under, the Smack It Down podcast. And our brother with the biggest cock, Roaches, Chris Savage. Ah.
Join the family and have as much siblings as our own father does.
Yes, yes. You thought father or daddy Dudley had it going on? Jesus Christ. Daddy Dudley
Hubert.
Ain't got nothing on
Hubert,
shit.
Man.
Hubert. Yep. Yep. It's the way it is.
The baby boomers, buddy.
The baby boomers. Not to forget also our friend Mitch, who did the music, the ECW theme. He does all the music around here. So Travis, do you have anything you gotta express to the listeners here that are live right now and people listening like peons in a week?
Like peons. I am a peon.
You
How can I call
peon.
Someone else a peon?
You're an onomatopoeia. That's the fuck you are.
I'm a noise.
You're the visual expression of a noise. Yes.
I'm not an onomatopoeia.
Okay, fine.
I hallucinated for my first time on Sunday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had like the craziest mushroom trip that I've had yet.
No, calm down. This week on A Descent into Madness.
This was a literal descent into madness. Should I elaborate?
Yes. Yes.
Sure, why not?
This episode is going to be long enough as it is.
This is not only a wrestling podcast, but it is a lifestyle podcast. So here's psilocybin with Travis. Or nice to meet you, because that's the thing that I do that I don't do. I took 2 grams, as per usual.
Yes.
But this time I took blue meanie mushrooms. Very apropos to this episode, just because it's an ECW tie-in.
Yes.
Now, I took these blue meanie mushrooms. I took 2 grams. And I was not alone. I was having some beers. Everything was normal when I was listening to music. And then I decided to pop on the latest JonTron episode. And I'll show you.
Did
you watch the Steven Seagal one yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to replay it briefly after this episode.
That's fine.
And I just want to show you what happened and when.
Okay.
But the Raid Shadow Legends trailer kicked my trip.
Yeah. Is it the abrupt cut to it?
The loud noises, all the colors and stuff like that. And,
Yeah.
Went tunnel vision. And then when he'd do the weird things where Steven Seagal was like sniffing and he like zoom in and make the weird distortion filter. As soon as he'd transfer back, every single damn thing in my line of vision was distorted.
Oh.
It was fucking with me, man. For the first 5 minutes of this mushroom trip, I thought I was going to die.
That's fair.
And I was like, holy fuck, I'm going to have a bad trip.
So now.
And then it passed. I enjoyed the Steven Seagal episode, and I watched about 2 hours of Bob's Burgers. Yeah, it was the highest I've ever been.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was crazy. It was crazy. All I've been trying to do is to try and get up to the point where I have a full-on trip, and I finally got it. So now I'm pretty content with the whole mushroom thing.
Yeah.
So now I have them, and I'm going to use them when I want to. Not just because I want to finally have that whole thing where I have a realistic mushroom trip.
There you go.
Yeah.
Since we have chronicled your descent into madness, and going forward, it is a, does he push it or does he tote the line? Let's see what happens when he pushes it. So until we get to... I'm talking with my hands a lot here. Yeah.
He's like chopping rolling right now,
I am.
Man.
Just chop, 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 chop.
He's doing like the robot, but kung fu fighting style.
Just in a fucking sweet swag.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the fucking swag.
You're doing though. Your Jushin Liger thing.
Oh yeah, just like in my shirt, I'm wearing the Jushin Liger shirt, and I'm trying to do the pose, the Karate Hulk Hogan.
Liger son.
But we might as well get into the news that happened in this time in 1997, and well, really, Travis, we haven't touched on ECW for a very long time, so
August.
Yes, so let's travel back to September, when Todd Gordon was booted from the ECW. After being thought of as the ECW mole.
The mole as to what? Feeding WCW the talent?
Yeah, feeding, yeah. Yeah, yeah, with the connection to WCW sending them there. So, Todd Gordon, obviously, if you watch the Forever Hardcore documentary, he, you know, disputes it to this day that he was never the mole. And obviously, you know, he's gone from ECW because of it. And, I mean, ECW... It's closer to its death than it is to his birth, and Todd just leaves, so, you know what I mean? Who knows? If Todd was around, maybe he could have found a way to keep it afloat, or would he have just bailed? Probably would have just bailed.
I don't think Todd Gordon knew what a TV deal was, so as soon as they hit TNN, I'm sure they would have been fucked either way, man. TNN was not ready for ECW. They didn't want it. They wanted WWF, so they compromised with ECW. Once they got WWF, they were like, fuck it.
Yeah,
it wasn't Todd Gordon. Todd Gordon wasn't going to do shit.
Oh, no. I mean, just like, you never know.
Squeaky voice teen Todd Gordon.
On a October 18th show at the ECW Arena, before a packed house estimated around 1,600, the show opened with Bam Bam Bigelow beating Mikey Ripwreck in a match more notable for what happened in the stands than in the ring. So, while fighting in the crowd, a fan... actually throws a punch at Mikey Whipwreck hard enough that it gave him a black eye. The fan then ran out of the building, and all the wrestlers and all of everybody in the stands exited the arena to search for the guy that punched Mikey Whipwreck in the face.
An amazing visual to actually capture on camera.
Yeah, and nobody found him. He was never found.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Could you imagine the ass kicking he could have gotten?
Oh, he would have died.
Like Bam Bam himself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure all the fucking crowd members, like ECW fans, I'm sure could probably get pretty violent if they wanted to.
Well, I mean, if anything, they know how to swing a chair, or at least they think they know how to swing a chair.
Oh, well, they think they know a lot.
Yeah. That's true. So, I mean, that is very interesting. On regards to this show, November to Remember, there were a couple circumstances that could have resulted in this show, which is regarded as being a letdown because of the fact that this was hyped as ECW's landmark show. This was their WrestleMania at this point in time. That's what they called it. They claimed that this was going to be their big event of the year. And so, obviously, it would let down from that because it's not as good as some of the shows we have reviewed, ECW-wise. While this being a good show, it's not as good.
Well, Barely Legal is still the best one.
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%. Classic show.
Which should have been the WrestleMania. It's your first pay-per-view. Yeah. Should be WrestleMania.
Think so. You'd think so. But, you know, it's... but. That being aside, this show could have been a lot different because there were early talks of ECW bringing in Chris Benoit for this show. Also, a possibility of Eddie Guerrero.
And Brian Pillman. Like we said last week, Brian Pillman was penciled in. Not penciled in, but Shane wanted Brian to be his first opponent.
Yes.
At November to Remember.
Yes. So, but what did Paul say?
Mexican Quaaludes. He'll be dead by November.
Yes. Paul. I mean, like.
Still. Some scary, scary foresight right there. I will never forget that anymore. Yeah. After rereading that chapter, I will never forget that.
And what book is that in?
That's Crazy Like a Fox.
Oh, it's in Crazy Like a Fox. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to think of like what book would Travis
read. Yeah, Shane's a talking head in the book.
Oh, right. So. Yes, you mentioned that last week. But on the Benoit side, so there was also Benoit and Dan Severn.
Jesus.
Yeah, they were trying to build this show up to have a big vibe.
You know what would have been amazing?
What?
Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, take on the Can-Am Connection.
Ugh, that would have been amazing.
Because Can-Am were there.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Just imagining Doug Furness and Chris Benoit having a one-on-one exchange. Oh. Holy shit.
Now I gotta go back and see if that ever happened anywhere in Japan or something. Because, I mean, they were, you know, big in Japan, so.
Well, all Japan, and Benoit was New Japan.
Mm, yeah, one can only hope. One can only
Never
hope.
Meant to be, you know? Never meant to be.
No. Well, on the Benoit and Eddie side, this didn't come to side because this was originally supposed to be a way to shuff away the ECW lawsuit for tampering contracts with, like, Raven and using likenesses and stuff. But they say it's due. It's just legality where it wasn't filed in time or something. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even going to begin to speculate on what caused this legally not to happen. But also on the Dan Severn side, Candido called Severn two nights before the show to ask him to come to the show. And due to it being a last-minute decision and Dan Severn not really having the time to get there, and Paulie realizing that he can't just throw Dan Severn at Taz because they've built Taz up so high, you can't just have Dan Severn go in there and lose to Taz in a convincing way where it keeps Taz on the uprise. So they're like, well, let's separate it for now and keep it open. I don't know if Dan Severn would ever go to ECW.
I think he'll go to WWF.
But would he ever have a match in ECW at all?
I don't think
no?
so.
That's fair.
It would have been cool, though, post Taz's match, that they could have had Dan Severn attack him and maybe build up to, you know, a match. But I don't know if it would have been better than what they do at the next pay-per-view for Taz. But at the same time, it would have been really cool because Dan Severn, everyone respects the hell out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're any type of MMA wrestling enthusiast at all, you know who Dan Severn is. You just know. Like, maybe not to, like, a casual MMA fan you might not know, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. You could do a lot of stuff with Dan Severn and ECW. You got a lot of bodies there that could work well with him. Shane Douglas, Taz. ECW also did a dry run of this pay-per-view at November 21st in Poughkeepsie, New York, where they would have the match Dreamer and Rob Van Dam. They would do Sandman and Sabu without the ladders, but they would still have the tables. And they would also do the tag team match. Now, the Rob Van Dam and Dreamer match was said to have been horrible. The same thing was said about Sandman and Sabu. And then the tag team match was said to have been the drizzling shits. Just fucking garbage. Now, I feel like I will say RVD and Dreamer, good match. Sabu and Sandman, boy, is it clunky at times, but it's fun as fuck. Right? And the tag team match is what it was. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Yeah.
Tag team match.
The four-way.
Yeah.
Just that clusterfuck.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That was bad.
What else really do you expect it to be in ECW?
So. Yeah. It was like watching that hardcore time limit match from WrestleMania 2000. It's just, let's just hit each other over the head with as much things as we can find. We're not going to do any other thing than just hit each other with fucking weapons. Like, I don't know. It was not my thing.
No, me
I enjoyed
neither.
Everything before it, and everything that came after was dog shit.
You didn't like RVD and Dreamer?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Dreamer was injured.
We'll get it. More
and you know
into
what?
That
I'm.
Too.
I can sympathize with one of his injuries, which is the only injury that I can ever sympathize with. But I will sympathize with that one, and I would never wrestle Rob Van Dam with a separated shoulder.
I mean, it's a feat, especially, and he also's got the broken heel.
And the broken heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, fuck, I couldn't imagine doing all that fucking walking and running and bumping.
You want to know a secret? I was going to save it till we got to the match, but work? I might as well tell you. No, he would injure his good foot by the end of the match. I was going to save it for when we got to the
He's
match,
nothing
but we're
special,
but
he's such a nice guy that you can't help but just be like, fuck, man. Or he's like fuck so committed. You. I can't say he's a nice guy because you had that bad experience. But that's also when people say
anybody,
that McFoley's a nice guy and I had that bad experience. So
this
it's
is
like,
I like to tell people. Anybody can be constipated on any day, man. You never know.
Yeah.
Right, so who knows? Who the fuck knows? But according to Paul Heyman, he received word that Rick Rude was going to join Nitro 5 minutes before the show went on the air. Sorry, no. Yeah, 5 minutes before the show went on the air. And that's why the show was riddled with Rude. And it's because they didn't know. And it's just unfortunate. In fact, they would say WWF wouldn't know until 5 minutes after ECW went off the air. I don't know how true that is.
And well, I mean, Rick Rude would be the only man to appear on Nitro and Raw at the same time.
Yeah.
On the same night.
Which would be the...
No, be about 2 weeks after the screw job.
Yeah. Yeah, so roughly around this. So, yeah. It's just a little interesting notes. And the last little interesting note I have is ECW began using the brand Titans as their lighting advisor for the pay-per-view so that it's not as much of a shit show as Hardcore Heaven 97.
Good.
What a
that
fucking
awful.
Horrible. That was god-awful.
Second pay-per-view. Got to leave a good impression.
Looks like shit. Nah. Who said that? Whoever said that. So yeah.
Look, we have one good pay-per-view. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. It's all bollocks from here, boys.
We got a good crowd. Fuck it. They don't need to see it. They'll hear it. Oh wait, the crowd's not that loud. Fuck.
Since you're talking about the crowd, we might as well jump into the show. This is obviously ECW November to Remember 1997. It's November 30th from Monaco, Pennsylvania, in the Golden Dome with 4,634 people in attendance.
Or as they like to have said, just outside of Pittsburgh.
Just outside of Pittsburgh, yeah.
I hate city suburbs.
Why?
I don't need to answer that question.
I don't need to answer that question here.
I'm gonna establish my Fifth Amendment right.
Establish my dominance by pissing on your feet.
Tyler, if I could stream that far, then that would be an impressive feat.
That would be. That would be. That wouldn't be too bad. Either way, this is the largest crowd ECW has ever had.
4,634. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Great crowd. Great
yeah.
crowd.
Yeah.
Really Pro is. Shane Douglas, but great crowd.
I mean, they're in Pittsburgh, I guess. It's an excuse. They did $103,000 on the gate. And also $43,930 at the merch table. So, yeah. That was pretty good. A pay-per-view buy rate of 0.2. And I have no idea what it is because I couldn't find it in my brisk look. So
wow,
yeah.
Shame on you.
Remember when I was
stalling
about talking more about Grand Prairie? That's what I was trying to do. And yeah, so that is that on the show aspect. But there's dark match. We haven't had a dark match in forever. Do you know what the dark match is, Travis?
Well, I believe Paul Diamond's in it.
Paul Diamond is in it, actually. It's Aaron O'Grady and Paul Diamond taking on Chris Chetty and Spike Dudley.
The Chetty!
The Chetty!
And, like, the best thing ECW has to offer. The well, highlight reel himself. The Sammy Guevara of ECW. Little Spike Dudley.
I mean, he doesn't do much flips, but he flies.
Come on. Okay, you watch the pre-show, and you tell me how many times that they replay that fucking thing where Bam Bam press slams Spike Dudley into the crowd, and he crowd surfs.
Many times.
It's about five times in 30 minutes, Tyler. It's about five times.
They played it a lot. They played it a lot. Whenever something happened and they needed to cut away, they just cut away to that.
And then you fucking go back to when WWE started replaying all the ECW footage, they would go back to that all the fucking time. So
yeah,
that is a synonymous image with ECW, and they are fucking, they know, they got their finger on the pulse. They know that that is something that's going to make people stand out and see that. Like, anybody that's a fan of like alternative rock at that time, I'm sure, like, oh my God, they got a wrestler crowd surfing. No way.
Bro. I mean, it was,
hey,
more
bud.
Do you have anything of note on the pre-show that you feel condemned?
I just love that every month on the pre-show, Paul Heyman's go-to way of running down their card for all these folks that have never watched ECW before on the free pre-show, he has to play Lust for Life by Iggy Pop.
He really does every time.
You know what? I can't complain, because it's a great song.
He knows a good thing he goes to it. It really makes it really hard to get anything isolated to play and not be breaking any.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can understand
that. Very hard. But no, I liked how they built up certain things. You know, they built up the RVD and Dreamer match really fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul Heyman builds that match up like nobody's fucking business. Again, like Bam Bam and Spike, they show a lot of RVD and Storm. So it's like, let's show like our best match that we did on a pay-per-view so far. Okay, cool. Right. And so they throw that out there. You know, it was really good. They just hyped everything really, really well. So, yeah. Do you have anything else you got to say about this?
No,
let's
go into the pay-per-view.
No, we're not, because it's pop quiz time.
Fuck's sakes.
Fuck's sakes. So, Travis, this one's all about your favorite Crash Bandicoot. So, you got six characters.
It's not my favorite Crash Bandicoot.
Well, no, whatever.
Technically, it's one of the best ones, but.
Yes.
It's number two in the top three of Crash Bandicoot.
There you go. Number two in my heart.
Number two is number two.
Number two. Six characters, though, not two, made their debut in Crash Bandicoot DOS. But which of the following did not? By the looks on Travis's face, he's got this. Is it Coco, Fake Crash, Tiny Tiger, or N'Jin?
Which one did not?
Yeah.
It's Fake Crash.
Okay. Now, since you're such a big fan, can you tell me the other three debuts?
The other three debuts?
Yes, in Crash 2.
Well, the Komodo Bros.
Yeah.
Ripperoo. No, it's not Ripperoo. Ripperoo's in the first one.
The other ones, you'll get it.
I don't think it's Embryo. I feel like Embryo is in the first one.
It's not Embryo.
Okay, so you got the Komodo Bros or Komodo Joe.
Yeah.
Tiny Tiger, N'Jin.
Think basic. Think basic.
Not Papu Papu.
Who else?
Coco does debut in Crash 2.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, what's the other boss?
It's not a boss.
Polar?
Yep.
The polar bear.
Yeah.
Is that the other one you're...
That's what I was telling you, to go simple. Go simple. It's polar. Coco's polar.
Instead
bear.
Of the hog, it's polar in that. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew you'd work it out.
Oh,
I knew you'd work
Jesus
it out.
Christ. I have spent more time on like four things in my life than I should have, and that's Simpsons, Twin Peaks, Crash Bandicoot, and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And wrestling. So that's five things that I've wasted my life on.
That's a lot of things to waste your life though. Wife on, so.
Wife on.
I know, I was tongue-tied there for
waste
a second.
Waste my Wi-Fi on.
Wasted my Wi-Fi on that? Did I shave my Wi-Fi for this? Yeah. What is my Wi-Fi? I don't know. I really don't know. But Travis, let's get into these matches. Travis, bring us into the first match.
All right, so in the opener, we have Tommy Rogers taking on Chris Candido.
Yes.
Tyler, do you remember where Tommy Rogers is from?
The Fantastics with Bobby Fulton.
Oh, okay, perfect. We reviewed the Fantastics on our Battle of the Woos timeline.
Yes, we did.
And what we didn't review was them on Raw in June of 97 doing a cruiser or a light heavyweight match.
Oh,
Bobby
really?
Fulton taking on Tommy Rogers, Fantastic versus Fantastic.
Oh, that was all. That was Jim Cornette. Yeah, all of it.
Bobby Fulton riddled with cancer right now.
Like
in real life. Yeah. In real life, yeah. So
he's got an ass
he
load.
Just got it again. Here's hoping he pulls through. But anyways, Tommy Rogers is in this match. Joey Styles calls this what could be the sleeper hit of the night. Like, he is really hyping this up. And I mean, I'm like, buddy, you better not be fucking mincing your words here, because I'm not going to deal well if you're talking about a Smoky Mountain match here. Crowd chant's boring right off the hop.
As soon as it starts, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I got one thing to say.
You say that one day.
I will. First off, Candido is scheduled to Tommy Rogers is scheduled to do a myelogram after the show, which is a large needle in his spine, because he hurt his neck basically from start in this match.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Right on indeed. And did you hear the ring bell? Did you notice the sound of the ring bell in this? Okay.
It's a cowbell.
Yeah.
This match is lacking one thing.
Cowbell.
And that is the need for more cowbell. There we go. Now, crowd is not behind Candido one bit, even though he's aligned with their fucking little favorite there, Shane Douglas, the puking wonder. Candido hits a stalling suplex right off the hop. Big superplex by Rogers for 2.9. Candido hits a super Frankensteiner for a 2. He goes to drop the dime on Rogers, but gets reversed into a powerbomb. Lance Storm, with his wonderful rat tail, exuding charisma, shows up to beat down Rogers with Candido because he's the new prospect for the triple threat. Because guess what?
Bigelow fucking turned.
He didn't turn. He just realized, oh, wait, why am I in this company if I'm not going for the world title?
Well, I mean, Rick Rude is the one that convinced him.
I know.
Well, I mean, in
I think
in
what Rick Rude could have done in ECW would have been way better than what he did in WCW. Yes. But you know what? I understand why he did it, so I can't blame him.
Yeah.
Live out the last year of your life in wonder.
Think about this now. Rick Rude would spend his last wrestling years in a suit when he could have went to ECW and just worn jeans and a sweater like he had been.
Yeah.
All that money he would have spent on suits, he would have saved.
Yeah, but he was training to wrestle again.
I know.
Now, since Lance Storm is out, Tyler, who is Tommy Rogers' current partner?
Like
in ECW?
In Tommy Rogers' current partner?
It's Dynamic Jerry Lynn.
Oh, sorry.
So, Dynamic Jerry Lynn shows up to help his partner out. So, this immediately turns into a tag team match. So we get a dive from Lynn, we get a shittier dive from Candido, and then a better dive from Rogers. So once this match starts, it's Lynn and Storm. It's great. We get a leapfrog low blow from Lynn, a powerbomb, a heart attack from Triple Threat. Rogers and Candido get in, and Rogers gets a real close near fall, another 2.9. We get an electric Storm cross body onto Lance Storm. Candido sets up for the blonde bombshell, which is the top row powerbomb. It connects, and Rogers breaks up that pin because Jerry Lynn was getting pinned, as you would assume. Rogers hits the unprettier in 1997.
He does.
Which
he
I
does.
Thought was fucking awesome. Only they called he... it. They called it the Tomikaze. Which, if you didn't hear what we said together, it's the Tomikaze, because his name is Tom.
And he is a fucking kazi. Kamikaze.
That sounds racist.
I don't think it's racist.
So, after all that great shit, we get a Northern Light suplex by Candido on Tommy for the win.
There you go. Yep. All that. I popped hard for the Imperator.
I popped up. The tag match was so much better. And seeing Jerry Lynn in 1997 wearing Kid Cash's tights, realizing that Jerry Lynn didn't steal Kid Cash's tights. Kid Cash, that redneck hillbilly fucking racist motherfucker, stole Jerry Lynn's tights. He gets a big ooh from me.
Oh, I was on the verge of just breaking it in laughter that whole match. Just because of just the way you were saying things, just the words you were using. He goes for the blonde bombshell. It connects. So descriptive.
That was like the only time I've described a match without stuttering or making a fool of myself, and you wanted to laugh out loud the entire time?
No, just because it was just funny. I just liked the way you were saying
it. I wanted you to look at me like Dave Meltzer looks at the Young Bucks.
Wouldn't you look at me like Dave Meltzer looks at Garrett Bischoff, or Garrett Gonzalez.
Garrett Bischoff. So you mean disdain? Dud.
Dud. Post match, Candido gives Storms a finger, like he's just so upset at Storm for doing something wrong. The bad blood of the two would ultimately just end up him being really nice to him on the way out. So it's like, fuck Candido, you're pretty bipolar at this point in time.
Oh, man, I... Tyler, could you imagine what one is going through when you're dating Sonny?
They would...
Dating Sonny?
If I was Candido at this point in time, I would be like, Joey, I don't want the world knowing that my girlfriend is sucking Shawn Michaels' dick. Just leave her out of it, okay?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
She would show up.
It's good that... This is going to sound so bad, but it's good that Chris Candido was not around for the internet really booming to figure out how much shit Sonny really did.
Yeah.
Man, that poor guy. That poor guy. That he poor had guy. It all, but he didn't really.
Oh, fuck. Good thing he's been dead for years.
16 years?
Fuck, that's almost as long as he was alive, for fuck's sakes. I know.
Well, good lord, he was like 23 in 97.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 36.
He died
30,
at like 32, 30, 34.
So yeah, 33. Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is wild.
Crazy.
Yeah. I thought, I looked at him as
such
an old man.
Such unsung potential by Chris Candido.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we make fun of him all we want, but... At the same time, he is one of the most aspiring wrestlers that could have such a high ceiling.
And his name says it all, Mr. No Gimmicks Needed, because there really wasn't a gimmick needed.
No, he's like FTR before FTR was anything, you know? Like that's kind of like the same vibe that I get, you know?
Yeah, it's
like
a Tully Earn vibe almost, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So like... just blanked.
All right, so next match. we get some footage of superstar Steve Austin losing to Mikey Whipwreck because Mikey Whipwreck is back after a knee injury. And they really, really want to hammer home Stone Cold Steve Austin lost to this guy, right? So.
Oh, yeah, even though when they show the footage, it doesn't even resemble. Looks more like he's beating Hulk Hogan than
Stone Cold.
Well, it's because
that's what he was doing, right?
Yeah.
He was doing the Hulk Hogan thing, too. Credible beat the great Sasuke leading up to this.
Which is
Credible,
crazy.
PJ Polacco, a.k.a. Aldo Montoya, a.k.a. Jamie Noble in 1997.
Yeah.
Come on. You don't get
Jamie
those vibes?
Jamie Noble, 19... Oh, that... Yeah.
Redneck.
Yeah.
Got my jean shorts.
Yeah, especially with the bald head.
Yeah,
that ratty fucking mustache he's got.
I hate Justin Credible. Shit, he's terrible. He's fucking awful.
He's not an awful wrestler. He's
no,
not a great
but the
wrestler.
Gimmick is
oh,
bad.
Yeah.
He's got no charisma. Oh, yeah. He's a good wrestler, like passable.
Yeah,
he's not great. He's not the next
no.
big thing in ECW,
God, no.
but he is.
Well, yeah, he's labeled as it.
Now, Tyler, you may not know this, but Credible, he enters to snap your fingers, snap your neck by Prong, which I believe would end up being Tajiri's theme with my Whipwreck at one point.
Really?
I can't remember, but I thought that's where it came from. And then Whipwreck shows up to a great ovation.
Oh, yeah. They love him.
And they're playing Pepper by Butthole Surfers. And I just hear that wailing guitar, the wow, 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 wow. And I'm like, yeah, it's Pepper.
I had no idea what it was.
Oh,
no
idea. Great song. Great song.
I had no idea.
Both men are 23 years old.
Yes, yes, they're one of the two of the younger members on the show. I'm pretty sure Chetty's younger.
Yeah, crazy though that.
Yep.
Both guys have been in WWF or ECW for as long as they have been now, for like 2 years.
Yeah, and didn't they say Mikey Ripwreck was ECW champion at one point?
I think he won ECW title in 95, 96.
Yeah, yeah,
just for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
Probably as long as Bam Bam held it.
Yeah, not very long. the shirt that Credible comes out in, an official member of the Piss and Moan Club. I originally just Googled it because Piss and Moan, I just wanted to see what it was. This is literally just a generic graphic tee that you could still buy today on Amazon.
Yeah. I would never want to wear a shirt that said the Piss and Moan Club.
Especially official member of the Piss and Moan Club.
Yeah.
It's just not really
but
my
just
style.
Just Incredible does look like a member of the Piss and Moan Club.
He's just incredible enough to be a member of the Piss and Moan Club.
Mike just Awesome's enough. A much better name than Just Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is, even though it's not a play on words.
I don't give a fuck. It's like a squirrel with a brain, and he's like, my name's Mike. I am awesome. I am Mike Awesome. It was not that funny, but thank you.
I am Mike. I am awesome. I am
Mike. Mike, you got any other ideas? I like Mel Gibson Gladiator. I am Gladiator.
My wife is dead.
My wife left me. I am sad. I am now killed. I kill myself.
That was
the worst one of the bunch.
That was not
Thank
where
very
I was
much. I am out. See you next week, folks.
That was not where I was going to go. I was going to say I like that 70s show. I like fat chicks. I am. Fat guy, fat chick thriller. Mike Awesome. But
that's
hey.
A much better route, but I always go the dark route, so I'm sorry. Oh,
I am dead
anyways,
now.
Anyways, fucking.
Dead now.
He's dead now. He's dead now. Mark Curtis, dead now. Sorry.
Fuck. Anyways, Mikey really starts it off well with a 619, I guess, around the post. A lazy 619. Hitting a Hurricane Rana. I thought that was
yes.
pretty dope.
Justin Credible hit a great missile dropkick for a two count
yeah.
afterward that. He threw Mikey outside, distracts the ref, so Jace can clothesline Mikey. Like, come on. It's not like he was going to get DQ'd for it anyway.
No,
come on.
I don't understand it.
The rules are about as established in ECW as they are in AEW, so why should I take this fucking seriously?
I mean,
because
I think
Jason interferes in like 5 minutes.
I think the rules are more established in ECW than they are in AEW just because everybody knows the rules are that it doesn't have any rules.
Yeah. Yeah. All Friends Wrestling.
All Friends Wrestling.
But it's still my favorite promotion. I don't give a fuck. Credible gets the heat afterward, and he hits a rolling powerbomb. A smirk yells something about making the pay-per-view start because apparently, oh, weird. The ECW crowd doesn't like someone that came from the WWF.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I find that very annoying how sometimes the ECW crowd is too smarky for their own good.
They are. For the most part, they really are.
It really bothers me at this point because they think that they actually know more than like people that are working the show. I love that, though. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm tape trading right now. I just saw a great Muda match in 1997 against Akushi. I know everything. Everything.
Everything.
Did you know that Akushi's not really dead?
Did you know?
That's the brain capacity of an ECW fan in 1997 right there.
I feel like you're doing a blanket blanket of observation over them, but I mean, I'm sure they're there. I'm
sure. Judge them from about 2,000 people chanting. I kind of grasped that.
I mean, all wrestling fans back at this point in time were like this. You got a chant going, people are going to chant it anyways. You know what I mean? Especially in the Attitude
Bam
era.
Bam's a slut.
Hey, in WWE, if it was a lot of old guys, they probably get it.
I wonder why
too.
They kept on chanting, sit the fuck down.
I don't know either. I don't know if that was... Because, like, I know it from Samoa Joe.
At first, I thought that they didn't like the other guy in the match, so they wanted him to, like, lay down, aka sit the fuck down. But then I'm starting to think that the front row crowd was in the way of...
See, I looked at it as, too, I've seen it that whenever it was chanted, somebody had just got vigorously thrown down, too. Because, like, I took it as, like, I know that from Samoa Joe when he's doing a uranage to somebody. He's like, sit the fuck down, right?
Stay down.
Yeah, like, he would just say, he'd just yell, sit the fuck down, and he'd just throw him down or whatever the fuck it was. And when I heard it, I was like, I wonder, like, is this a thing that's been in wrestling for years, or was somebody in the way?
It's probably, like, rap culture.
Yeah, yeah, could be. Could be. I don't know.
Protect your neck.
Yeah.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, Travis is hit with all the knowns.
Yeah, all that 90s rap nomenclature.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it.
I'm sorry. That's okay. It's okay. I was a fan of Credible's work throughout this match. I thought he was pretty crisp.
I find the use of Jason was stupid. I don't get why he's there at all. Doesn't he get Francine? Dom Marie. He gets Dom Marie, doesn't he?
And Lance Storm.
Right.
Yeah.
The Impact players.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, that's way better.
Oh, yeah. It's much better than what they got right now. And then when Lance Storm would leave, Justin Credible would go to the main event, and it wouldn't work.
ECW champ, buddy.
Yeah.
Jamie Noble, baby.
I'm worse than Jamie Noble. Because he is. There's no way.
Once a member of the X Factor, always a member of the X Factor. Hey,
Albert had to go to Japan. Get that. He couldn't come back to the
X-Pac
States.
X-Pac had to film a sex tape.
Yeah. He shows dick.
Had to fucking go on the Surreal Life all high as fuck trying to beg back Joni Lawler.
Yeah, he had to make an ass
fucking
of himself.
Had to almost kill himself in Mexico.
Yeah.
Had to get sober. Had to go bald. Had to have a protective dog on his chest.
And he ripped his asshole, giving Jerry Lynn a Bronco Buster, bled all over the place.
That wasn't real, Tyler. You didn't do the...
Yeah, no, and I felt it in my body, too, that it wasn't there.
I know.
Yeah.
I could see it. It wasn't real.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But let's get real, Travis. Let's get really into the end of this match.
Okay. Sure.
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 I can.
The ECW crowd gets real fickle. Mikey Whipwreck tries to make a comeback. He hits a top rope Hurricane Rana. He notices Jason is on the apron, so he gets his revenge by low-blowing Jason. Credible then takes this as an opportunity to rebound his heat. Jason holds Mikey back. Justin goes up top to get hit by Jason, then uses Jason as a step to climb up to... Mikey hits Jason.
Yes.
Uses Jason as a step to climb up to the top to hit the whippersnapper.
Yes.
And then wins the match.
Great move.
Sorry, I replaced the names and then it ruins the whole thing. Tyler should have finished this match.
Oh, be good.
But then we get to hear Pepper by the Butthole Surface again, and all is well in the world, Tyler. Take us to the next amazing segment.
Yes, and this segment... It's fantastic. It is the debut of Al Snow and Head.
Did you think we were going to get this so soon?
No, not at all. I didn't expect to see a Job Squad shirt in November of 1997.
Right.
But it was nice to see future members of the Job Squad in the locker room with them. Blue Meanie. And I mean, I'm not going to be able to do it justice. Travis ain't going to be able to do it justice. So let's just hear what Al Snow has to say.
Just great. Did you see that? Huh? Was I the only one watching? Or were you paying attention for a change? Did you see that? That was just great. That was my chance, my match. Instead of being on a PPV doing a JOB, for once I could have won. But now, You had to go and tell everybody I was hurt. I dislocated my shoulder. Big deal. This was supposed to be hardcore, extreme. Everybody's out here wrestling with broken feet, setting themselves on fire, broomsticks stuffed up their butt, Tracy's mother's brain hanging out his head, and I can't wrestle. While I'm off, everybody's coming up to me going, Al, why'd you screw the head? Al, why'd you screw the head? I didn't screw the head. I didn't screw the head.
Not me.
No. The head screwed the head, didn't you? The head screwed the head, not me. The head screwed me, too. You're just like everybody else. You want to keep me down. You said you'd be beside me, but just as soon as my back was turned, you were calling Eric Bischoff looking for a job. Without me, I'm the bread and butter of this team. I'm the reason you're over. Just like everything else and everybody else, they all come up to me, Al, get this guy over.
This is the head he's talking
to. Get this guy over. No more. From now on, I'm getting myself over. But you know what? I brought you back. I accepted you back. And in the time-honored tradition of the business, I let you get one free shot on me. Just one, but no more free shots. I took one for the boys, didn't I?
Took one for the boys.
Didn't I? Took one for the boys, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I want you to know I'm the star here. I'm the star.
Biggest star
not you.
In the whole universe.
I'm a star, aren't I?
The biggest superstar.
And I'm not crazy. Not crazy at all. Not at all.
So that visual of him going back and forth both sets of lockers saying, I'm not crazy at all. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
I liked Simon Dean, a.k.a. Nova, being like, Al, you're so over. You're so over. Just avoiding the fact that he's probably going to fucking lose his mind.
Yeah.
If someone's like, Leif Cassidy, huh? Ha!
Where's Marty Jannetty, bro? Lock your sister up. But yeah, this then leads us to a ECW World Television title match between Taz and Pitbull number 2 with his boyfriend from the beginning of the show, the intro, Brockus.
No, Lance Wright is managing him, and Lance Wright's boyfriend
Right,
is Brockus.
Sorry. Lance Wright, who is, in this role is much
Pitbull
better.
Number 2's lover is cocaine.
And Gary Wolf.
Gary Wolf's lover is painkillers.
So they both have mistresses. But
I mean, Pitbull number 2 dies of a drug overdose in 01, so that's why I said that.
Yeah. Well, it's very apropos. Lance Wright is very much more suited to this role.
Not Lance Wright in the sky?
Yeah, Lance in the sky with diamonds is just not where it's at.
Ernie Pye in the sky, Camp Rockman.
But now he's just got his big muscly boyfriend, and he's gotten that WWF money.
I thought the Brockus shit was so bad, like that guy thought that he was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh yeah, he did.
Like he thought he was the Terminator.
He was.
He was more
jacked.
So kind of like Rainier Wolfcastle.
Well, I mean, yeah, he really looked like Rainier Wolfcastle, actually, much more than Arnold.
Hey, your shoes are untied. On second thought, they are not. Sorry.
It's okay. I really did like how that promo worked out. But before we get into the promo, I just got to preface this match, okay? Paulie is on commentary, and he says that this is the most exciting match. This is the match I'm most looking forward to. This is going to be the show stealer. This match would end up going 1:30, okay? Wolf would not really get involved. At first, I thought that he must be still injured, but then why would they bring him back? But then he would take a pretty nasty bump by the end of the night.
I think he's still feeling it.
He's definitely still a little bit hurt. But Paul Heyman, this match really does nothing.
You want to think, Tyler, just think about this. All right, so in 1997, Gary Wolf, Henry O. Godwin, both break their necks.
Okay.
Both come back ridiculously early. Both retire ridiculously early. Now, it's pretty funny to think that out of the Godwins and the Pitbulls that Gary Wolf couldn't handle a broken neck, but fucking Henry O. Godwin becomes like a much better fucking wrestler after breaking his neck.
I mean,
it's just weird circumstances looking at 1997 and how careless and how kind of like the boys run the show type shit. You know?
Yeah, there was nobody. It was like there was nobody looking out for him. It
didn't matter, yeah.
Yeah. This match would essentially, and this is no word of a lie, Pitbull would hit a powerbomb, spinning heel kick, followed by a shoulder block. Taz would then hit a belly-to-belly, T-bone suplex, and lock in the Taz mission for a win.
You're wrong, Tyler, because that is a belly-to-belly Tazplex and a T-bone Tazplex. And then the Tatahajime, the Taz mission hold.
For the win.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I definitely didn't do it justice. But post-match, Wolf would get into the ring, but he does get a, I think it's a, what would you call this? A, it's not a T-bone, is it a T-bone suplex?
A pump-handle Tazplex. Tazplex?
God damn, eh?
Taz, I'm on the money on the Tazplexes, buddy.
You know the Tazplexes. Taz then would grab a mic and he would cut that promo we were talking about earlier where he basically wants Brockus to get into the ring. Calls him all kinds of names. But a security guard would come in and try to stop this, and Taz is having not a fucking second of it. So he would start forearm smashing the guard, and then Travis, he would apply the
Tatahajime
as
the Taz mission hold.
As they cut the footage of Bam Bam tossing Spike into the crowd.
Because Paulie does not want the air footage of his own security guard beaten down. Which was a nice little kayfabe tie-in, not going to lie. If this was 97, you weren't like in the know, that would have been a cool thing to see. You would have been like, holy fuck.
This guy's
crazy. He's like Stone Cold.
He's crazy.
He's crazy.
Crazy. But... But with that being said, we are here now to talk about fucking, you know, Tommy Rich.
Elimination match.
Tommy Rich comes out. He's yelling at Devon to shine his shoes. That doesn't look very well today. Joel Gertner then introduces the Dudleys one by one like he does. And then Axel and Balls would sneak attack everyone with chairs. Nice of them to wait, though, until the introductions were done and all said and done.
Way too long. Hate Joel Gertner. He is not good. Great voice.
He does a great voice. He does.
But goddamn, does he ramble. And I feel like Bubba Ray Dudley could have probably gotten his promo chops up way faster had he just gotten rid of Joel Gertner and tried to fucking talk.
I mean, it's quite possible. You could be onto something there, Travis. You very well could be onto something there. I myself like Joel Gertner for what he is. I don't by any means think
you
he's
have
some
poor taste, my sir.
Hey, I wouldn't be I'd be lying if I said I did. So, but
my favorite line of the night, Joey Styles says, "John Finnegan is assigned to ref this match." Poor bastard.
Joey Styles actually does have a few good lines.
Joey was really on tonight, and it's not saying that he's rarely like he's the type of person that's like finicky, but tonight he particularly had a good night.
He had a good comedic night as well. Just little quips that he had, because I actually did end up being able to create an art of commentary for ECW.
Ooh,
it's the first time.
New music again?
Yes, you do. That sultry wet keys. This would bring us into this tag team match, this clusterfuck of a tag team. Obviously, the Gangstanators have yet to make their way. What?
The Gangstanators.
Fuck, I'm white. What do you want me to do?
Gangstanators.
Yeah, whatever.
Just at least put an A on it. It ain't the Gangstanators.
Gangstanators.
I'm Anton Jackson, but no, I am not a part of the Jackson vibe.
Jesus Christ. Simpsons, right?
No, I'm the Cover Brother.
Oh, I thought it was one of the nerds in the college, but
no.
Gangstanators obviously is not around right now. They're biding their time because, you know, pops and stuff. But in the middle of the ring, the Dudleys give each other their props. This is one thing that I really liked, where the Dudleys, they just threw somebody out and they're hugging each other. Yeah, fuck yeah. And then you got the FBI, they come in there and just...
I did love the FBI. Like, I do really enjoy Tracy Smothers. Tracy Smothers is one of those people that I never liked until we reviewed him on the Battle of the Woos.
Oh,
realized he's good, and then we reviewed those 96 shows where Tracy Smothers debuted on ECW.
Yeah,
yep.
They're good matches.
Holy fuck, Tracy Smothers is a really good wrestler.
it's a shame we got to see him when we did.
It's the Henry O complex, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. But no, at this moment in time, you know, the FBI, they hug it out as well, and all of a sudden you get Natural Born Killers plays. New Jack and Cronus, they begin clearing house. They use such weapons as crutches, a trash can, a mailbox, a baking sheet, a cheese grater, frying pan, fucking guitars, everything you can think of. They use everything you can think of. Absolutely everything.
And that is the match.
Yeah, basically. Cronus would go for a 450 on an illegal member of the match.
Tyler, do you want to know what I wrote down for the brawling portion of this match? Until someone got eliminated? Smash, smash, smash. Great smash. Smash, smash. The ring is cleared.
The ring is cleared. It's all it was. It was just shots with every weapon you could think of that was in this trash can that New Jack and Cronus brought out.
Until the Gangstaners got eliminated, the match
then
was...
Then they turned the music off, because like the whole time the music is playing, it's supposed to be, you know, this all-out brawl kind of deal. Like, yeah. But Cronus would go for a 450. He would do it on an illegal member, though, and get hit in the back with an Italian flag. He was going to do it to Tommy Rich. And I was like, well, you could do it to Tommy Rich if you want to. But he's not in the match, right? And this is before when he already tried to pin somebody after it them being an illegal member of the match, also was a 450. This Cronus just missing 450 after 450, just wasting them on nobodies. But I mean, nobody ever said Cronus was smart, right?
No, he is the epitome of the laughing hyena from Lion King. We established this when he was a eliminator.
It is.
And Terry Saturn did not fuck off to WCW to wear a BDSM skirt.
No, he wanted to leave Cronus behind.
You want
to
talk about a descent into madness? Oh, it's Perry Saturn post ECW.
Yeah, he really, really, really went off the rails.
Perry Saturn's like, oh man, he could branch off and be an upper mid card, maybe main event ECW champ at some point.
Then he gets shot in the face.
Well, I mean, then he went to WCW and then tried to wrestle on a torn ACL.
Yeah.
And then fucked his career up for good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He pilmanized himself.
There you go. Travis gets hot about these people that hurt themselves.
I don't get hot about them, but it's just when you see someone that had so much potential that could have done something.
Yeah.
And then they just make stupid decisions. I don't know. You can really see it now when you rewatch it. And yeah.
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 I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm trying to react to Tyler, but he's got two computers and he's so consumed.
I'm just like a motherfucking micro analyst. But no. Cronus would try for 450, get hit by an Italian flag. This goes into a Bubba Cutter by Guido. I almost said Gato and Guido at the same time.
Wrong episode, my friend.
Yeah, wrong episode indeed. By Guido, eliminating the Gangstinators. This is basically solely to turn off the music.
Guido, post that, takes the nastiest snake eyes I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Guido's taken some really good bumps.
Oh, yeah.
But overdoing them.
I mean, that's his nature,
right?
It
looks like he's going to hurt him.
I mean, you can go too far with it. And Guido, just being the small guy as he is, he oversells everything.
But after that, we get a neck whip. Balls does a spinning heel kick to the outside.
It was the odd looking spinning heel kick, hey?
Yeah.
It's like he holds on to the rope because he knows he's
effort,
too
buddy.
Hefty to do
a
it.
A for effort.
Yeah.
He tried.
Probably would have broke a hip if he landed
onto
it.
Onto Devon. Gertner gets on the apron, throws sand into Bubba's eyes accidentally. So then Balls 3Ds D-Von. Or, yeah, he 3Ds D-Von with a blinded Bubba to eliminate the Dudleys because yes. Bubba couldn't see who he was 3Ding.
Yes. That's not the first time that would happen.
Even though D-Von is way thinner than Balls Mahoney, but he could not realize that it was not one of the chair-swinging freaks.
And they say that when you lose one of your senses, all your other senses are heightened.
Definitely. You think so. You feel. You would.
You love.
I'm not even going to go further with that. I thought that was clever. This is when the chair-swinging freaks go all Dusty Rhodes, baby, on the FBI, where we get Axl Rhodes. He's taking dusty punches on the FBI. He has the terrible towel, baby, and he has this ugly implant DDT on the little Guido.
Just so you know, I have no idea what he's saying either.
There's so much plunder, man. Guido takes some more nasty, gross bumps. And Balls causes a ref bump with the Nutcracker Suite. A new ref shows up, but we realize that the ref is just out there to help the FBI.
The ref is just out there to
out
help
there?
The, out there to help the FBI.
Shut the fuck up. At least I know my region style. So he low blows Balls Mahoney. He hits Balls in the balls, and the FBI wins.
They balls to the balls.
Are still the tag team champions.
They are.
We get to hear the Entrance's Stayin' Alive remix, buddy.
Fuck, I never understand that. I suppose, I mean, like...
You're the one that got me to fucking download
this. Oh, yeah, no, it's like, it's a dope song, but it's just like, I don't see FBI, full-blooded Italians when I hear the song. You know what I mean? It's just... I feel like I don't know.
I think No Sleep Till Brooklyn is a much better fit for them.
Yeah.
And when they get that, that's the perfect song for the FBI.
I agree completely. You're 100% right. But yeah, no, I had in my notes to do the exact same thing at the end of the match. The ref would kick balls in the balls. So apropos.
I've got big balls.
Yes.
She's got big balls.
And I've got a pop quiz.
I've got the poppest
pop quiz of them all. Tenacious D, the greatest band on earth, was originally picked up by HBO to have more episodes than it did, but due to a dispute over Black and Glass losing ex-producer rights, they only did 6 episodes. How many episodes was the original deal for? Is it 8? 10, 12, or 14?
Say 14.
You're going to say 14?
Yeah.
Now, you'd think a show that ran between 1997 and 2000 would have more than 6 episodes. You'd think it would have more than 14. But originally, it was only meant to have 10. Yeah. They would end up taking... Their ideas and made Tenacious D the Pick of Destiny.
I've never watched Tenacious D.
I've never either.
I've only watched The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
Which is
a fabulous movie.
Great movie. Yeah, I've watched it a million times in a 2-year span and will probably watch it one more time in my life.
Once more.
That soundtrack, holy fuck. I can't even tell you how many times I listened to it when I was a kid. Like Kickapoo?
A long fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo, there lived a humble family, religious through and through. But yeah, there was a black sheep, and he knew just what to do.
So then came young JP, and he refused to step in line.
Shush!
To see him rocking all the fucking time. Oh, the dragon's balls blazing as I stepped into his cage.
Okay. this would lead us into a match between Tommy Dreamer and RVD, but before we would see this brief promo from Dreamer walking in with Beulah, and it's a nothing promo. Nothing.
That was okay. He was like, you know what? He's more athletic than me. If this was a regular match, he'd beat me.
He's got 2 feet.
I'm Tommy Dreamer and I have heart.
I'm missing a foot and a shoulder, but I have heart. What the fuck was that?
Oh, buddy, I just opened up one of my beers.
Oh. Oh. It does. You have a glass?
I don't.
Good job there, Captain. Captain Fancy Pants. But no, they would then play the same Paul Heyman promo that he would cut on the pre-show. It's very, great promo. It's shame to see it twice. I was hoping to see something a little different. But hey, it's 1997. It's ECW. Yeah, it looks like there's a good head on it. Looks like it's decent. But this would bring us into the match. This is ECW versus WWF. It's a flag match between Tommy Dreamer and Rob Van Dam.
Beulah!
Motherfucking Beulah.
Oh!
She's amazing. Your wind that you blew out on that last hit me like a shockwave. It was odd.
That was how Beulah hit me when she fucking walked out in front of Tommy Dreamer and I was fucking bamboozled, my friend.
It wasn't the man in the box.
No,
it wasn't that sultry.
You got Allison Chains, and then all of a sudden Beulah McGillicuddy shows up looking as fine as ever.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I was ready for this match.
I was ready. Ready, willing, and able. But no, this match, they're really positioning Dreamer to be like the outsider killer here, because they're really hyping up the fact that he beat Nitro Superstar Raven. They're hyping up the fact that
Jerry Lawler,
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That was Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes, right. But they would also have him in line to beat Rob Van Dam. That is the WWF brethren right now, even though you wouldn't see him on WWF at all. He just touts the WWF line, quote unquote.
I haven't seen him on WWF for about 2 months. In November? This would have been about 5 months.
Yeah, and so they're still doing this angle. This is the blow off to it, pretty much, I assume. No, not really. Why would the blow off end in the way it did? But hey, it's ECW and it's Rob Van Dam. It's Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer, hell, would never beat Raven, really, except for the one time.
One time.
Yeah.
But
so
that was the culmination of the feud. Yeah. So it worked out.
Yeah. So, I mean, this match, it was good. Dreamer comes into it with a torn shoulder, though, and a broken heel, like we alluded to earlier. And since the last time we've seen RVD, he's got his Pantera theme. So that was pretty dope.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so I like seeing that. It seems like there's much different swagger to RVD coming out to walk by Pantera than it did whatever.
Anybody
the fuck
would come
out
with different swagger when they walk out to walk by Pantera.
Yeah. They come out with a fucking horn coming out of their head.
Such a great song.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Van Damme and Alfonso, they come to the ring and they're shouting out, giving shout outs to Vinnie Mac, waving to him into the camera. I loved it. Bill Alfonso with his fucking cracked teeth. Oh, man.
Baby, I was on WrestleMania 9 and I got ties with Vince McMahon, baby.
Travis might lose his voice again.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind if you lost your voice. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Oh.
I like the Alfonso. I like the Fonzie. Also, Beulah gets one of the biggest pops of the night when they announce her during the ring announcing next to Tommy. Like, the announcement that Tommy gets, the pop that Tommy gets pales in comparison to Beulah's. Pales in comparison.
They all found the Hustler film.
They did, yeah. It was like the Sabuto film. They found it, and they're just all feverishly beating off to it. If you haven't found it, you should.
Wait a minute.
What is
this?
We're
talking, penetration?
it's Penthouse. No.
Penthouse, not Hustler. Right. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's
green M&M, yellow M&M.
I mean, they're all the same. Just one as a P going into a V. Yeah.
A D and, well, you know.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Well,
it's a toy.
What's a toy?
It's not a,
Anyways, yeah. P, your P penis going into
the penthouse film, buddy.
Oh. No, that's what I'm saying. Hustler, you got the P going into the V.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Beulah video. I was like, no, that doesn't happen, my friend.
No, because it's penthouse. But anyways, enough about my perv knowledge aside. This would quickly break
that
into a brawl.
Female demographic.
Oh, yeah, no, we got such... I wonder why we don't have a bigger female demographic now that I think about it. Quizzical minds are wondering here.
Pop quiz time?
No, I mean, the answer to that one is... I don't have the answer to it. I'm sure it's a culmination of many things.
Oh, you're talking about me fawning over Beulah and Sonny all the time?
I mean, I'm sure the list of Hyatt didn't help.
Name at least you bought her book. You helped her out.
Bought her book, yeah. So, I mean, that didn't help us any. So, but either way, this match breaks into a brawl, go outside, RVD and Tommy Dreamer just hit every barricade going. There's not a barricade left untouched before this skirmish was over. I mean, it's...
First sit the fuck down chant happens.
Yes, yeah. You got, you know, people getting nutted on the guardrail, getting hit over the head with chairs. It's just, you're running the mill ECW stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Van Damme runs amok on Dreamer for a long time.
And he has to,
because
Dreamer can't move, right?
Yeah, and it was good. You know, we got, like, a Rolling Thunder. We got, like, Fonzie hitting Pee-wee with the roadside.
Yeah, that was quite. We got a Van Damminator that
RVD backswung a chair into Tommy Dreamer's
skull.
The
back of his head too, just splat onto that. I'm sure that hurt like fucking.
And
hell.
Then we have another crooked ref spot.
No, it's the same crooked
one.
Ref.
Same crooked ref.
Same crooked ref.
Beulah low blows this schmuck.
There's a series of low blows.
There's a double DDT with all the refs in the ring onto the crooked ref. A double low blow by Fonzie onto the two good refs. And then Beulah low blows Fonzie, which was, all in all, a fun spot. Results in RVD grabbing Beulah, and then Tommy rolls him up. Beulah does the count. You see her thong. The crowd pops. Count didn't really go to three, so then Dreamer pile drives RVD for another synonymous ECW image, which is RVD taking a pile driver and then
he takes it like nobody's business,
taking like a 3 foot high bump on his neck, which was amazing. Best sell ever for a pile driver.
Great sell.
And Beulah is now, I guess, the ref. So DDT onto RVD. Dreamer grabs the ECW flag. Can-Am Connection show up. Stevie Richards shows up for me. WCW, I guess his stint is over with at this point.
I assume so. I mean, I knew he didn't last for very long. And the Can-Am Connection, they're still with the WWF as far as I know, aren't they?
I don't think so.
Maybe they are.
They might be until the end of 98 or 97.
Yeah.
But I think that they're gone pretty soon.
I mean, I'm very excited to see Doug Furness. I love Doug Furness and Phil LaFon.
I think RVD with the Can-Am Connection and Stevie would have been a great fucking group. Yep. And have Sabu as like their fucking mercenary.
Sabu's just there. Sabu's like their Brian Pillman. Sabu's not part of any group.
No, he's a nomad.
Yeah.
He's a nomad. Yeah. He's like Dean Ambrose in The Shield.
Oh, he's much worse than
I know. Just trying to give like a familiar comparison.
Oh, I know. I just couldn't let that one go. Just like, can't.
I know. So, yeah. Dreamer gets fucking trashed with a trash can. He gets hit with a 5-star frog splash onto said trash can. Fonzie gets in the ring, puts the Fed flag over fucking Tommy Dreamer. RVD gets the pin. There's a table set up in the ring. Tommy gets perched on the table with the Fed flag over him. Fonzie starts pointing to Sabu. Points to something.
Oh, they're obvious. Well, they start signaling to the sky. It's
exactly.
Like a bat single. So they do the.
So Sabu shows up. You think he's about to show up to do the final damage on Tommy Dreamer. But what does he do, Tyler?
Oh.
He fucking dives onto the beautiful Beulah.
Yeah. Wake up, Terry Brunk.
Terry Brunk. You're beating up a woman.
What are you doing? There's shit all over the walls, Terry.
Terry, there's shit in your crack pipe.
just recycling.
But Tommy, he covers up Beulah. He gets pummeled. It's a sad visual, but it's sympathetic nonetheless, which is exactly what you want to achieve for a Tommy Dreamer angle. Yeah. So that was good. And then we enter Sandman.
We do. Before we enter Sandman, which basically leads us into the next match.
Yes.
Essentially. This just goes right. It does. Because Sandman would do his full entrance around. By the time he gets to the ring, everybody else is gone.
Tyler, do you skip Sandman's entrance?
Of course not.
I was just wondering. That would be determining whether or not you are enjoying ECW to its fullest or not. Because Sandman's entrance on a VHS rip is some of the funnest five minutes you will ever experience on a wrestling show.
Oh, yeah, and 100%.
It's only if you're behind the Sandman character. Yeah. Because this is the only redeemable fact about him.
Yeah. And you know what? The only redeemable fact about this show is the art of commentary. So so why don't we go and check out the art of commentary? Because sometimes commentators just want to hang, shake, or bash your head. Sometimes you just laugh, but by God, you know what it's called.
Landstorm chosen a prospect for the triple threat fight. Candido's fiance, Sunny, who said she liked Landstorm's muscularity, and I'm quoting her, the way he fills out his tights. What the hell is this? Al Snow is in the locker room with a head? What do you mean a head?
You're watching too much Monday Night Raw.
Well, somebody has to. The ratings are in the toilet.
Joel, so big, it's hard to keep from hurting her. Gertner.
Hurting who? The woman who takes out your pants every 2 days?
Take it a little rough, get out, regroup, take your time, get back in, beat his ass.
Beat his ass, Daddy. Beat his ass. We'll go smoke some crap back in the hotel room, buddy.
I'm gonna beat your ass.
You smoke some weed, but I'll smoke my crack, Daddy. It'll be fine.
This is a crack smoking triple threat because of Sandman Sabu with Bill Alfonso in a tables and ladders match.
We got tables, we got ladders, Daddy.
We got crack, we got ladders.
We got hard hitting hits to the head. We got concussions. We got beer. We got fucking smokes.
Memory loss.
And we got shit on the walls, Daddy.
But no, so Bill Alfonso, you'll never be missed. That's for goddamn well sure. Because as long as Travis is around, you'll always have a surrogate. But no, as Sandman gets
happy
on the apron,
days, right?
Happy
Fonzie.
Days. Yep, yep. And we ain't jumped shark yet. As Sandman gets on the apron,
we did long
a long time. Sabu spears him onto the floor. The match begins with a fury. This is basically a. This is not Sandman's return, but this is his first high-profile match since returning from going MIA from on, you know, the hospital and the ambulance.
His OJ trip.
His OJ trip. So, you know, he came back to make the save and then probably collapsed and got a beer intravenous and was good to go. now, there was a lot of, like... There was a lot of odd things in this match as well. Like Sandman gets a running head start.
This match was so bad.
Oh, man.
It was fun,
yeah,
as you said, but it is
bad.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many missed spots.
Oh, and there's so
Thank
many just, what
God
the fuck
Sabu
was Sandman
kind
trying to
of
do?
Nailed some of them.
Some of them.
But I think the spot that the crowd popped for the most, Sandman fucked up so bad.
Is that the seesaw with the fucking...
No, the senton off the ladder onto the guardrail ringside fucking table.
Oh, yeah.
He did the Jeff Hardy fucking swanton off the ladder onto the table to the outside.
Yeah.
And he fucked it up.
Yeah. See, this is what I had wrote for this. Sabu sends Sandman up on the table, gets a chair, hits a triple jump moonsault. Sabu then walks across the table, gets a big ladder, throws it at Sandman's head. This is not what I was going to, but this is when he uses the ladder as a javelin, and he takes it, and he just hops himself over and just jumps at him. You throw it over the top rope and use the javelin on the outside. It's like, Sandman, buddy, like, what the fuck you trying to do, man?
There was a lot of shitty things, man. Like, you get the ladder match at WrestleMania 10 in 94.
Yeah.
And they say that they use the ladder as another opponent in the ring. Like, almost like they use it as psychology. And it's almost like they thought the same thing here. But it's like, we're going to use the ladder for everything. I'm going to do a ladder suplex. I'm going to use
table
the ladder
suplex
and do a splash with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only time the ladder gets used correctly is with Sabu on his last two spots.
Oh, yeah.
That finished the match off. Now, yeah. Sandman was very... he tried. He tried a lot.
He did.
And I'm not going to fault him for it because, you know what? He tried so many drunken somersaults, drunken planches, table suplexes. Man, like, you know what? If you can't wrestle, do a table suplex. Suplex a table onto your opponent. Fuck it. Who gives a shit? You smashed a beer can into your head. You smoked a cigarette. People fucking love you right now. Yeah. So just do what you got to do to get by.
During this match, he would also injure his shoulder, one of his arms, and his ribs.
He got so many dead-ass fucking hits to the head with that ladder.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that that's all he walked out from. You know what? It's a match I would watch again. I would not say I would never watch it again.
I mean, it's enough car crash to get
if someone
it
wants to be like, oh, yeah, wrestling's fake, I'll be like, yep. Yeah. Tables and Ladders match, November to Remember, 1997. You want to say wrestling's fake? not to mention, Sabu breaks out a fork at one point. He gets stabby.
He does. He corners his inner Uncle Abby.
And what happens right after that?
I mean, she kind of
Fonzie's on the apron. He has Sandman's Singapore cane.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the corner with Sabu, and Sabu throws... Fire in the eyes by Sabu.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the flash paper that I've seen
a total
coming a mile
thing,
away.
Totally made sense.
Isn't that how Sandman was blinded too before? Against Raven?
I don't know.
Flash paper?
I don't know.
I feel like it was.
But poor Sabu.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, poor Sandman.
Well, I mean, poor Sandman. He also had the spot where the ladder is hanging on the guardrail. And so Sandman... He does this, you know, he goes for a little run, and he does as good of a plancha as Sandman can do to try to hit this seesaw, I assume. But it didn't.
Seesaws are never a good idea.
Yeah, it didn't work. I know. Shocking, right? It didn't work at all, but fuck. This match had a lot of effort put into it. They tried a lot of things. 90% of them didn't really work out, but hey. You know, you win some, you lose some. Still enjoyed it. So, it is what it is. But Sandman would be it's set up on a table. Sabu dives off the top of the ladder, crashing through the body of Sandman, through a table onto the floor, and then hits an Atomic Arabian Facebuster with the ladder to pick up the win.
Did two of them with the ladder. It was fucking nuts. Yeah. The last one was flawless.
Oh yeah. Sabu when he
this
does
was Sabu
things,
on his game.
Yeah, still fuck him up a little bit, but on his game he didn't really
Sabu
fuck up a lot.
Sabu always fucks up on his game, but Sabu was on his game tonight.
On his game.
So. Got to be on your game when you wrestle a 20-minute match with fucking Sandman. So.
Joey would then pimp the ECW hotline,
Daughter, I killed another fruit fly.
There you go. He talks shit on the WWF. Taz then cuts a promo with a lip full of dip in it. Fucking sucks.
The pay-per-view Living Dangerously. Or
that's what they're calling it.
Whatever that's called. In fact, it's called Living Dangerously, and it's March 16th, 1998.
March 1st.
Yeah, fuck you. 1-6-1, whatever. Same thing.
6-1, nah. This brings
Buyaka.
This brings us to Youth of the Nation. No, I'm just kidding. It's the Eastern Youth World Heavyweight title match. Bam Bam Bigelow taking on Shane Douglas with a crippled Francine. So basically the story of this match, because we haven't seen any of it since we've...
No.
Not a lick.
No idea, but it's a cool story. You know. Bam Bam.
Rick Rude was stalking Douglas and Francine since early 97. Warned Douglas that he'd been training a wrestler to take the title from Douglas. And on the 24th of October, Rude revealed Douglas, his own teammates, Bam Bam Bigelow, was going to take him on. And he would, and he would win the title. Have a very short reign, though. About a month. Because, shocker, Shane Douglas really is the winner. Was it really worth? I mean, probably not, because...
Would have Bam Bam been a good champion for a few months? Well, yes.
You know what's the worst part about this, Travis, too, is right after this, Shane Douglas has to go and get elbow surgery. Now, this is not because of an injury that would happen in this match. This is a pre-existing injury that they knew he was going to have to go for surgery.
Is that why he sells it so much the entire night? Where at the end of the show, we cut because they're worried about Shane's elbow.
Now, it was worsened by the match.
Oh,
it really was.
God.
But he was going to have to go for surgery anyways, and you still gave him the title. Like, you couldn't just keep Bam Bam. Like,
fuck,
I don't know
it,
if
no
Bam Bam was
what,
going
it's
somewhere.
It's his hometown, Pittsburgh. They have to give him the title.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you don't really have to do anything, but fuck. Bam Bam's a heel. I mean, fuck it. I mean, the match, though, this match went 25 minutes. It was about...
I didn't write anything for the first 12 minutes.
It's not that good of a match.
It was all
match,
back and
really.
Forth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, though. The first bit of the match, big fight feel.
Yep.
Until
you hear the crowd start chanting LT at Bam Bam.
Yep. I'm not a big Guns N' Roses fan, by no means.
Welcome to the jungle.
I like a few songs, you know, like Patience is good, Welcome to the Jungle is good, November Rain, great, Estranged. But when you hear Bam Bam Bigelow come out to Welcome to the Jungle, for some reason, this song fits so well with Bam Bam Bigelow that I am sitting on my own couch watching a 1997 pay-per-view broadcast in shitty quality. With Bam Bam Bigelow entering to walk through the jungle. And I am hyped up.
Yeah.
More than I am hyped up to watching most wrestling.
Yeah, and not to discredit either Shane Douglas' theme.
Perfect Strangers is, Deep Purple. It is one of the perfect... It's a perfect theme song for Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah. It encapsulates him.
A theme song can do a lot for a wrestler. And when ECW comes around and you can choose real songs at that point in time in 1997, Perfect Strangers, Deep Purple.
Oh, I mean, still to this day, if you don't pipe in the noise through the recorder, you can get away with it because you're not actually, you know what I mean? Which is what ECW did. That's how they got away with it. But, I mean, a company like WWF can't really do that.
No.
You know, they got to. That's why the WWE Network masters are so edited. And you look at if you buy it from, might as well be a Nefarious Mean or a video. It's going to have the original audio on it.
Oh, anything about Rob Fine's being nefarious, so.
fuck. But, yeah. I mean, this like I said, this match is fine. You know, it's the obvious story. It's the hometown.
It was a Shane Douglas
face.
Match.
Well, I mean, it's not so much a Shane Douglas because like Shane Douglas used to being the heel, And
no,
you know,
but
just,
Shane Douglas is overrated. You know?
Yeah, but that's
like,
not to say this is a Shane Douglas match, though. This match is different than most Shane Douglas matches just because it's not him doing the work on beating somebody down. It's him taking it from Bam Bam.
What about Francine's hairline fracture on her pelvis?
Apparently it's real, but I don't know.
Did you just get fucked too hard?
No, it was during a match with Bam Bam and Shane, like the one where he won the title.
Okay, redact that.
Then. Yeah. I mean, like, who knows, right?
Nah, you won't. Know. You won't edit that.
I won't. Of course not.
Of course you won't. Of course. Douglas ends up going for a high cross body at one point.
Good
Bam,
on him, man.
Bam Bam catches it for a fucking slam for a two count.
Good on him for trying it, man. That's all I can say.
The second time we see Snake Eyes for the night, Bam Bam goes to give fucking Shane Douglas Snake Eyes, but Shane Douglas falls right to the floor after hitting his head on the post.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty nasty.
It was. Another one, too. Very much the same thing. Douglas would start to get a comeback going again, which every comeback he did only lasted a couple strides, and then Bam Bam would cut him off again. But Bam Bam would gorilla press Douglas. This is hinting at doing the same thing as he did to Spike Dudley, and would toss him onto members of the Triple Threat and security guards that are on their way down to the ring.
Looking back, this match had, I'm not going to say top notch, but very well done psychology.
Yep. Yeah, the psychology was there. Just
working
the,
on Bam Bam's back, his kidneys,
yep.
And then working on Shane's elbow, taking the whole spot back from the Spike Dudley thing.
That you've been hyping all night, so it's in everybody's
use
mind.
Francine's crutches.
Yep.
It was a slow match, and I don't like Shane Douglas for his style, but this was... It didn't live up to the main event feel that the beginning had, but... It worked, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, Shane Douglas, you can't look at Shane Douglas either in 1997's ECW and be like, you know, you can't compare him to guys like RVD, guy, you know what I mean? Because he's more of a throwback wrestler. I mean, this guy was wrestling in WCW in 89.
There's so many more people on the way in.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And there's so many people right now on top, like Taz. Taz is...
I mean, Taz will be the end-all by a couple months. Right? Like,
and
he is
right now. Since Barely Legal, like that match with Shane Douglas, that five-minute match,
yeah.
The match with Sabu, it was amazing. His yeah. Candido match at Hardcore Heaven.
It was really good.
All great.
Even the Pitbull match was good for what it was. For
and
it being
Sandman
a minute
is
and
like
half.
That badass that just shows up and it doesn't matter what he does, but he's always there to cause some fucking ruckus. It's always great.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know it's yeah. It is what it is, though. This match was fine.
I mean, fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say 3.5 stars.
Yeah, I was entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would
give
say
it a
average.
I would give it a B minus.
You got a star rating 3.5 stars. That's mine. What would you say?
I mean, if I was to say, I would go 3, maybe 2.
Okay.
Maybe 2.5.
2.5.
If I was forced, I don't like living life by those things. But
well, I did it, so I figured you may as well give your own.
I'm just saying that I'm not going to go around rating matches because that's not my thing.
We're
nobody
not going to ever do it again. I just fucking threw it out there.
Okay, I'll never ask you to do it again. Fuck. But what I will do is, what would you rate this pay-per-view?
Oh, well, I don't like to live my life by that, you know? But
I'll give it a thumbs
in
up.
In all fairness, what's the scale?
I mean, 1 out of 10.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, 1 out of 10.
Let's do 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10 is easy. 5 is average.
7.5.
7.5?
Yep.
I wouldn't give it that. I'd go 6 maybe. But yeah. Yeah. Good show.
You know what? It was a show that I did not have a hard time doing my watches for.
I watched it in one sitting.
I watched it in I watched it in 3, but one sitting was really short. So I'm going to say I watched it in about 2.5 sittings.
Yeah. I mean, like, and my sitting is broken up by, like, smoking a joint and stuff like that, too. So, I mean, it's still a couple sittings. But
I watched the last two matches today.
Yeah.
Which I like to do on my day off, so that's easy. So
easy peasy, baby.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, daddy.
It's so good to watch the pay-per-views when you get the day off and you're all hungover and you got the mushroom hangover on your mind and all that kind of plunder.
But we've already mentioned that what we'd rate this whole pay-per-view, but we never really went down to the finish of the match. After a reversal of a backslide attempt, Shane would hit his patent belly to belly, but cannot capitalize. Bam Bam would then crush him into the corner and go out. He would get a chair, set it up with a part of a broken table, in which Douglas would slip out of a powerbomb, hit a belly to belly through the tiniest table, and get the win.
And
great finish. I love the finish.
It was good finish, and the crowd loved it.
Oh yeah, hometown
crowd.
They
were so behind Shane because they're not Philly, they're Pittsburgh, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess different thing. It's like Calgary Edmonton, I guess. Holy fuck, who gives a shit? But whatever.
Hey, people have their rivalries.
It's like being like in wrestling. Oh fuck, Chris Benoit's from Edmonton? Nah, fuck him. Hearts all the way, buddy. Come on. Like, oh, it's so stupid. Whatever.
Triple Threat would come down. They would celebrate with Shane Douglas as he's getting worked on. And as he's getting worked on and sitting down in the chair, everybody in the crowd is just chanting, pussy, pussy, pussy.
Oh, yeah, because they've never had an injury in their life, and they see Shane Douglas injured, and they're like, oh, wow.
Fuck being the hometown crowd. Pussy.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about the ECW crowd. They're, they are the worst kind of people. They are the worst kind of people. I would never want to hang out with an ECW fan in 1997, but I would love to go to an ECW show in 1997.
Yeah.
Because I know the old ECW fan thing would be like, oh man, we didn't get any fucking barbed wire, we got no fucking flames, we got no fucking thumbtacks, we got only two tables in one match. What the fuck? I wanted five.
There's no difference in going to any indie show and going to that.
I know.
It's wrestling fandom.
Dude, you remember the All Out show when they were talking about the whole thing about Cody and what he'd fucking do next after All Out?
I don't remember it in general, no.
Okay.
But I mean, you're going to find that in every wrestling show you go to. You just got to find a section of the crowd that's not so smelly.
Good hygiene means good crowd.
But you have anything else to say about this show before we go?
Nah, I feel like that you've grown tired of my diatribes.
There we go. There we go, Travis. Grown tired. Tired of you. Tired of your fucking shit. I'm so tired. I'm going to make you go through the next card. Which, you know
well,
what?
Well, the next
it's
show...
It's a fucking lie because there is no card for the next show.
I thought we were doing World War III before we did Bret Hart Week.
Psych! Well, psych!
Well, you know, you've got a lapse in fucking history because last week you said we were doing November to Remember and then World War III before Bret Hart Week.
I was just seeing if you knew. I was just testing you, bro. I'm kidding. I just totally forgot.
So
you
what,
are right.
Do you want me to
yes,
review
go through
the World
card.
War?
Go through the card.
My God.
I was testing you.
Gee, no,
son
you
of a bitch.
Aren't. You're a dumb son of a bitch, Tyler. Anyways, when you were 10 years old, Tyler, this show happened.
It's true.
See, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. That memory right
there. There you go. There
look
you go.
He's just piecing things together. All right, so when Tyler was in Aunt Minnie's and I was a little fucking kid, I was like 3 years old.
He was there too.
We had a tag team match between Ernest Miller and Glacier taking on the Faces of Fear, which is Ming and Barbarian. Sounds like it's going to be a fucking decent match. And then for the TV title, we got Saturn taking on Disco Inferno.
I don't have the card because I've
Saturn,
thought it was...
not Perry Saturn, just Saturn.
Well, yeah, he would end up being called Saturn for his whole ECW run, actually.
Never got called Perry.
Nope.
Okay, fair. Okay.
I don't know.
Yuji Nagata takes on Ultimo Dragon. The Steiner Brothers with Ted DiBiase take on Dave Taylor and Steve Regal. They're back together again.
The Blue Bloods will never die, baby.
Nope, except for Paul Levesque. in a no DQ match, we got Raven taking on Scotty Riggs, who might lose his eye.
Probably loses his eye, yeah, becomes, well, Riggs.
Alex Wright with Deborah McMichael takes on Mongo.
Mongo.
And then for the WCW Cruiserweight title, in a four-star match, we got Eddie Guerrero taking on Rey Mysterio. Eddie Guerrero is the Cruiserweight champ.
Yeah, I mean, he was Cruiserweight champ last time. Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I suppose he got beat by Rey at Halloween Havoc, and now he seems to be back on the train. And, hey, what can you say, man? What can you say? Eddie's got it going on.
And then for the United States title, in a no DQ match, we got Kurt Hennig taking on Ric Flair once again. And then World War III.
Yes.
We got the 60-man match. We got DDP, Rath, Greg Valentine, Fit Finlay, Chris Adams, Morris, Rick Steiner, Brad Armstrong,
Barbarian,
Liz Mark Jr., Vincent, Eddie Guerrero, Hollywood Hogan.
No. Okay. We only got so much music to go through all of those. But you can follow us on Twitter at The Funeration. You can follow Travis on Twitter
at Fudging Up.
And then you can go on Instagram and
fuck you.
Facebook, The Funeration Podcast, and Patreon and PayPal, all of it. Become a member of the Fudge family. Do it up and listen to us live. But Travis, keep on rocking the free world and
do.